from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
Republicans need a leader in the House. Democrats are already creating chaos, and the Supreme Court takes up an important and symbolic case. That's coming up on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. It's only been a few days since Democrats won control of the House of Representatives, and questions are already flying around about the impact on President Trump's agenda and what the new majority will do with that power. Joining Tony Perkins on Thursday to talk about those issues was former U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota.
Michelle, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Great to be with you and your wonderful audience today.
Well, Michelle, you're no stranger to Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. During a portion of your tenure in the House, she was the Speaker. What can we expect going forward in the 116th Congress?
Hi, Tony. I think that what we were going to see from Nancy Pelosi to begin with will be a certain amount of chaos. Unfortunately, there was a lot of fighting that we saw during the lead up to this election, and we're going to see a lot of fighting as soon as she receives the gavel in her hands again. She received the gavel in her hands the day that I was sworn into Congress, and they had a lot of chaos, just the behind the scenes organizing. There's a lot of jockeying right now for positions and influence among the Democrats in the party. And so what we saw yesterday already was a lot of tweets from supposed new committee chairs who are talking about bringing chaos to the Trump administration. So unfortunately, from the Democrats, we aren't seeing from them words of policies that would actually help the American people's lives move forward or the economy move forward. What we're seeing instead is personal vendettas against the president of the United States. I think that is their agenda moving forward. And that doesn't bode well for the American people.
Speaking of that, Michelle, yesterday the president in his press conference that lasted about 90 minutes, he touched on that issue. Here's a clip of what he had to say about the incoming Congress.
I really believe that we have a chance to get along very well with the Democrats. And if that's the case, we can do a tremendous amount of legislation and get it approved.
Is he playing nice in knowing that the Democrats will not work with him, or what's taking place here?
Oh, exactly. He's putting his best foot forward. He's extending an olive branch to them, saying, look, this is where he's very sincere. He's saying, I want to work with you. I want to have deals to help the American people. And I think he has talked about a few issues in the past that we can get some infrastructure projects done. In other words, let's get some roads, some bridges, some interchanges, let's get airports built. He wants to do all of that. I think the Democrats, if they're smart, also will want to do that. But I think he's also very serious. He's been impacted by this drug problem. He wants to deal with that, and that's where he wants to shut the borders to drugs. Now, whether the Democrats will meet him on that or not, I don't know. But he's very serious about getting that done. The one thing that will happen, Tony, budgets will get passed. That's the main business of the Congress, to pass budgets, to fund the government. They will pass those budgets. I think that as Democrats have said, we want to have socialized medicine. They've said we want to have a sanctuary country. In other words, have the American taxpayer pay for a new lifestyle for people coming into the country illegally. That is not going to happen. The Senate will stop that, and also President Trump will have to stop that. So the policy changes that will occur, Tony, will come from the pen of the president. He will continue to implement good policy decisions. I trust the president. He's done an incredible job. So as much as he can do on his own, he will do. He will work very close in hand with the Senate to pass even more great judges onto our federal courts. And the House, quite frankly, won't achieve their policy objectives. Their goal is to make sure that he is not returned to the White House 2 years from now. And so they want to bring about personal devastation into his life. But I don't think they'll succeed.
Michelle Bachmann, you mentioned one item that the House has to do, and the current House didn't get a whole lot done legislatively, even though they were majority Republicans. They passed things through, but a lot of them died in the Senate, to give in fairness to the House. But the funding, you've got to fund government. And, of course, we've seen these continuing resolutions, the CRs are just kind of a continuation of funding. But that has been a point of contention where we've come to these points of government shutdowns, and the Republicans have always been afraid that they would own those shutdowns and the public would be against them. Is now the shoe on the other foot? Now, will the Democrats, if they try to hold the president hostage with their big, bloated budgets, will they be owners of a government shutdown?
No, because it never works that way. Because when you have a media that has proved themselves to be 99.999% the press secretaries for one political party, the Democrat Party, we will never see them cast in the frame of obstructionists. The president, in all likelihood, will do that. He has an incredible microphone, and his reach is broader and deeper than any prior president ever before because he's such an effective communicator. However, I think we will continue to see continuing resolutions, and we will see budgets passed. We won't see the government shut down. We will see budgets passed. And be prepared, because the Congress will spend a lot more money than what is coming in. So we will continue to see unfortunate spending.
You talk about the media, because the media has been a major factor. They've openly now the opposition party to Donald Trump. Now with the Democrats, with Nancy Pelosi, if she's the one that has the gavel in the House, I feel very confident they're going to give her as much of a platform as she wants to counter the president. But I wonder if that may backfire on Democrats, because, you know, we know her popularity rating with the American public is not high. And so for 2 years going into the 2020 election, if she is the face and the voice of the Democrats in this country, that could backfire on the left.
Oh, Tony, you're exactly right, because she hasn't exactly propelled them to stardom with her recent performance in the last year. In particular, and I don't mean this in any negative sense, I feel great compassion for her. It appears that she may have some physical problems going on with her, because she's unable to speak correctly. She stutters, and she seems to have brain freezes. And so if they were smart, this is what they should do. If she wants to retain power, and she's very good at retaining power, then she should really step into the background and have another spokesman be at the microphone every day, because she's not good at it anymore. And she could pull the strings of power in the background. She also has to have more control over her committee chairs. We've seen how wacky Maxine Waters is, for instance. She will be the new chair of Financial Services Committee, a committee I sat on for 8 years. If she is making crazy pronouncements and putting forth crazy legislation on that committee, people are going to be upset and they will react. The same with Jerry Nadler, who has said that he's ready to issue subpoenas to the President of the United States for making a personnel change. He just called for Jeff Sessions' resignation as Attorney General yesterday. The president has 100% authority to do that. There's no reason to investigate something like that. That's absolute craziness. So if the left, if these far leftists in the Democrat Party in the House, these committee chairs, continue to pursue this type of wildness and make these wild pronouncements, then they're going to be in trouble, and the American people are not going to reward them in the ballot box 2 years from now. And something you had brought up, this issue with Tucker Carlson yesterday, where we saw these protesters out in his yard really threatening physical violence, where they were, one at least, took their body and body slammed into his front door while his wife was in the house and cracked his front door, shouting, "We know where you sleep." I mean, this kind of thing is going to cause an incredible reaction from the American people, and they will have no chance in regaining power or advancing their power in 2020.
Yeah, that's all designed to intimidate and to silence. I mean, we've been seeing that here, even at the Family Research Council, for the last half decade, where we even had the gunman come in here shooting.
That's right. That's serious business.
People.
That is serious business. And FRC was targeted. And this is where, again, FRC, I congratulate FRC. I congratulate your leadership and the supporters of FRC, because this also shows the effectiveness of this organization. And because of your effectiveness, I believe that that helped to hold up the red wall, so to speak, of support for this president and his agenda going forward. And it really is thanks to the work and leadership of FRC that we saw such an effective holding back of the changes that were intended in the ballot box just 2 days ago.
Well, I appreciate that, Michelle. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you've joined us on this Thursday afternoon. My guest is Michelle Bachmann, former congresswoman from the state of Minnesota. Let me ask you this, Michelle, because you were there. You saw it up close. Will Nancy Pelosi be able to keep the Democratic members of the House together, because she doesn't have a whole lot of wiggle room? And it was hard for the Republicans oftentimes for Paul Ryan to keep them all together before him, John Boehner. Did the Democrats stick together better than the Republicans?
I would say yes, actually. I think that they do. They're very much used to a command and control organization. And I think she will make the decisions with a couple of other lieutenants, and the rest of her generals, so to speak, will be told what to do. And if they don't do it, they will lose their gavels and their committee assignments. Here's the difference now. In this election, what is distinctive about the 2018 election, Tony, is the fact that the Democrats elected Democrat socialists. And this really is the new base of the Democrat Party. The principles of socialism are at the fore. And there will be a strong effort to put socialism into place. But thank goodness she won't be able to because of a Republican president and a Republican Senate.
Amen to that. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, thanks so much for joining us.
God bless you, Tony.
You can find out more about Michelle Bachmann when you visit TonyPerkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the donate button. That website, once more, is TonyPerkins.com.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, or read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. In January, the 116th Congress will be sworn in, and the GOP will relinquish its majority leadership. Who will be the next House Majority Leader? Joining Tony to discuss it is Congressman Kevin McCarthy of the 23rd Congressional District of California and the current House Majority Leader.
Kevin, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you so much for having me back. I always enjoy being on your show.
Well, I appreciate that. It's always good to have you on and continue our conversations. I mean, looking back on the 115th Congress, we actually had some significant gains and victories, but Tuesday night was not one of them. I'm sure you're disappointed like so many of us.
Look, I'm disappointed, but don't misread this election. This president did a great job. History says since World War II, that a midterm election, meaning the off year, meaning the first off year of a new presidency, you lose more than like 36 votes. Remember what happened to Barack Obama?
Yeah, he lost 63. Yeah.
So, and there's reasons in here why. Okay, so we're playing against history. It played just like history said, not like when Obama lost so many. There was also a green wave that went through this place. $150 million was spent more on the other side. Michael Bloomberg wants to run against the president. He gave the Democrats $100 million on top of everything else they raised. So when you look at races across the country where they were outraising, but he went in and put $5 million individually at a time. He tried to determine the Georgia governor's race, but what he did, mm-hmm. he beat Karen Handel in there. She had $5 million against her. And that's very difficult when you go through some of this. And some of these seats we lost, we will win back. Dave Bratt's seat in Richmond is one of the strongest Republican seats. You look at Steve Russell's seat in Oklahoma, we will win that back.
Yeah,
because a number of these Democrats promised they would not vote for Nancy Pelosi, and the very first vote they're going to take is they're going to break their promise to the individuals. And remember what's coming back. It's like a scary movie. But it'd be Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, and Clyburn. These are the same people that America rejected when they tried to make government so large and take over their lives. And the Democrats did not win by having an agenda. Think about what we were able to achieve. And you were right by saying the achievements we made, but it's not just you. The Wall Street Journal actually went through in an editorial, I think it was just last week, said it was the most conservative, comprehensive Congress an effect in more than 20-some years. That is amazing. Why? Because look at the economy today. Do you realize in the last 49 years in America, unemployment has only been below 4% 11 months in those 49 years, and more than half of those 11 months, six of them, you just lived through. And there wasn't right. one Democrat who voted for that bill in the House nor in the Senate. And think of this. We have been the most pro-life Congress you've ever had. You've watched that time again. Think about what Micah's Law we've been able to pass. All those Title X funding, what we've gone through to pass. The defunding of Planned Parenthood, the no taxpayer funding for abortion and insurance disclosure. This Congress, when you rate it simply on the number of bills that are passed, most effective in more than 30 years. We've had challenges in the Senate, but with this last right. election, with more senators, more successful. Now, the Democrats are going to have a smaller majority than we did. They're going to have a very hard time being successful. Now, our very first goal is to make sure we move America forward. We're in the minority, but America comes first. Our next goal is to win back the majority. I'm not running for the minority leader. I'm running to be the Republican leader. And you know what? You watched me when I came in. I came in the last time we went into the minority in 2006. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I created Young Guns. And that was the year in 2010 when I recruited that we defeated 63 Democrat incumbents. We've won this in a bigger hill to climb than we have today. I believe we'll win this back next time. Because a lot of these seats that have lost, they're in areas that Trump won. And you
so how
strategic policy? I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying strategically, you know, with Nancy Pelosi then setting the agenda. What's the plan in terms of helping the president move forward with an agenda that I think clearly the American people, at least the majority of the American people, embrace?
They do embrace it, and we have to be very clear and distinctive about what our differences are. You know, there is a clip of Nancy Pelosi just a few days before the election in a rally in San Francisco saying she's proud of her San Francisco values. She may be proud of them in San Francisco, but the rest of the country is not. You know, in San Francisco, in that election, if you were illegal, you could vote in the school board races. Mm-hmm. We put that on the floor, condemning that. 140 Democrats went against that because they support that. I do not believe, and tell me what was their agenda that they ran on, that they'd impeach the president, that they'd abolish ICE, and they'd do a takeover of government, the health care, and bankrupt Medicare. Now, they had an overwhelming amount of money. They were not as successful as they thought they would be. That's why we don't wait until swearing-in day. We start today. Now, our policies are exactly what they should be. We need to move America forward. We need to solve, from one point, our debt problem. We've got growth coming. We've got the military being rebuilt. We combated human trafficking online. That is now taken away. we looked at our combating the opioid problem. We've got to deal with welfare reform. We've got an infrastructure challenge in here. Those are all policies that we're going to continue to lead on. We've got to secure the border. We're going to continue to lead on all those things. What will the Democrats? If the Democrats propose a policy and a principle that we don't believe in, we're going to stand up and show them a solution that's different.
But you will not capitulate.
Not one day, not one iota, and we're gonna challenge them on what they said they would do and all their broken promises.
All right. Well, I know we got a lame duck to get through first, and I'm hopeful we'll get some things done in the next few weeks. But we'll see you back in Washington next week.
Thank you so much.
To find out more about Congressman McCarthy, just head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available. And you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference? Now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together and advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just a tap of the screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins, or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. About 5 miles from the Supreme Court in Blydsburg, Maryland, is a 40-foot-tall cross honoring those that died in World War I. And there are those that have filed lawsuits to have that cross removed because they believe it violates the so-called separation of church and state. On Monday, FRC President Tony Perkins was joined by Majority Whip Steve Scalise of Louisiana as they discussed the Supreme Court's decision to take up that case.
Steve, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always great to be back with you.
I know you were excited because we actually talked about this or communicated about this on Friday. I know you were leading the effort on Capitol Hill with your colleagues to get the court to take up this case, and they passed on it several times, but then announced on Friday they were taking up. Big decision, isn't it?
This is such an important case, and you know, you were at the forefront of it as well in recognizing that if they take down Bladensburg, they're going after Arlington, they're going after every marker on public lands that has some kind of religious symbol, and you know, whether it's the cross or Star of David, this is how people want to be remembered in their deaths, especially if they sacrifice their lives for our country. You know, the thought that a court decision could take that ability away, it was literally in the balance. I'm so glad that Justice Kavanaugh is on the bench now and will be able to participate in this case along with Neil Gorsuch, because it means President Trump will definitely have a lasting implant on this decision, and hopefully it's the right decision.
You know, Steve, when you look at this case, this is a cross that has been in place for nearly 100 years. And no one ever thought that it was unconstitutional, that somehow it violated the Establishment Clause or, you know, what some wrongfully describe as a separation of church and state. I mean, this is really the product of an activist court. We've seen this over the last 6 decades where things that no one ever thought anything of, all of a sudden, have been pushed out of our public life.
Yeah, and this is really the heart of religious freedom attacks. You know, you've been one to call it out on so many fronts for years now, and people say, you know, okay, I hear that my religious freedom is under attack, but there's a constitutional protection that I can exercise freely. Well, here's a classic example where The current court position, the federal courts below the Supreme Court, the current position is that this cross needs to be taken down, which is a ludicrous decision. Anybody that looks at it would say, how could a court and, you know, unelected judges say that you can't have a way to recognize the men and women who died for this country? This was during World War One. This is something that's been there, like you said, for over 100 years. It's not been an issue, or nearly 100 years. And all of a sudden, the court is going to come and take away our religious freedom one more time, and we're on the defensive. We need the Supreme Court to reverse that decision if we're going to be able to keep these markers up, including at Arlington National Cemetery.
Congressman Steve Scalise, let me ask you this question. When you look at this case and the fact that Congress had to petition the court to take it up to save this monument, and as you pointed out, theoretically, you know, once a case like this is decided, someone will come and challenge the crosses at Arlington. They'll challenge every memorial that's out there. Does this not bring back front and center why the courts are so important and therefore why elections are so important?
It really is. I mean, you look 2 years ago and that Scalia opening on the court, when that great idol of the Supreme Court, I mean, when Antonin Scalia passed away, people recognized just what was at stake in the election if they weren't already sure. Because Donald Trump said, I've got a list of people that will be constitutionalists that I will go look at to pull to decide who's going to replace Antonin Scalia. Hillary Clinton, we all knew what her pick was going to be like. And there were multiple cases that were 4-4 cases before the Supreme Court. They shouldn't be 5-4 decisions. Our Second Amendment rights, literally a few years ago, were decided by a 5-4 decision. Luckily, it was in our favor. But again, court, if elections go the other way 2 years ago, we're losing a lot of these cases. In fact, Bladensburg would be a classic example of a case that we would have a high propensity to lose by a 5-4 decision. That's how important these elections are.
Steve Scalise, as always, great to have you on. Look forward to talking with you after tomorrow.
Always great to be with you. Make sure everybody goes and votes tomorrow. Thanks, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.